It's showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us in money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
That ball is crushed to left center field. Paul Goldschmidt hits it out. 2-0 National League.
There's your real all-star. Hey, good morning. It is The Drive with Sam Piper. No Derek Piper. I'm actually in his seat right now. Can you see me?
Nope.
Okay.
Just me, unfortunately.
That's Trevor Valise. Trevor and I will be doing a two-hour show with nothing going on in sports except for Paul Goldschmidt going yard and another National League loss. Is American League won 9 straight?
9 in a row, and somebody said at the end of the broadcast, 28 of 34.
How does that happen?
And I'm just like, I mean, you would figure that most years the teams are mostly equivalent, right?
I would agree.
I don't think that there's been some known thing that the AL has been, you know,
no,
eons better than the NL in the last decade.
This isn't like the 34 Yankees or whatever.
In fact, I think the NL has more World Series rings this past decade than the AL
does. Isn't that weird?
And you've had your traditional AL teams like the Yankees and Red Sox not necessarily be as consistently great as they were in the early 2000s. So to think that the AL has, in basically a crapshoot, right? Because every year Vegas, the money line for the All-Star game is basically even on both sides. Now, there's a little bit of a lean one way or the other, but... So to say that it's a total 50-50 toss-up and it's gone the AL's way like 78-80% of the time in the last 30 years is just so weird.
You know what that is? That would be the American League is FanDuel. The National League is Lante. That would be what that is. Because literally, my last 9 bets have been wrong. And then what'd you say, 24 out of 30?
28 out of 34.
Yeah, even better.
Yeah.
Have been FanDuel victories. So that's, that's what it does. It's paralleling my betting success or lack of is what's going on with the NL All-Star Game and NL AL All-Star Game. Goldie did homer. So Paul Goldschmidt, 1-for-1. He only got 1 at bat.
Yeah, then he gets pulled after homering.
Yeah, he's too nice of a guy, I guess.
I guess.
Snitker?
Yep.
You know he's from Macon, Illinois. Over near Decatur, just south of Decatur. So they pull Goldie 1-for-1. Albert 0-for-1. Ryan Helsley did pitch the 8th and was throwing the ball 103 miles an hour. I think he threw 17 out of 19 strikes. I mean, I think he was a little bit geeked up for the All-Star game, but he looked really good and held it, you know, held things at bay essentially for the National League. And then Wilson Contreras 0-for-1 and Ian Happ walked. So that is your Cubs-Cardinals contribution. Miles Michaelis, by the way, did not pitch. So he was invited in 2018 to the All-Star game, but his wife was giving birth to twins, so he didn't go, obviously. So he didn't get to play in that one. Then he gets awarded a spot on this year's team, but doesn't end up getting to pitch, which I guess he was told early in the game, you're not pitching. Which I don't know. I guess, how do you know that? I mean... I don't know, but did I tell you like 6 of the 9 innings went scoreless?
You are wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. 6 of the 9 innings went scoreless. We could have won money.
But they were the back 6 more.
They were. They were, yeah, because the only one that I wagered on was the first, and of course.
Two-run home run.
Yep.
That, well, a solo home run and another run.
Yeah, but. Another run that had scored. after Shohei had led the game off with a single. So that's your All-Star breakdown. That's as much as I have.
Stanton wins MVP. He hit the game-winning home run.
Okay.
Buxton hit another home run, and that was it for the scoring.
That's it, 3-2.
3-2 was your final score. Derek mentioned yesterday that most of these games have been trending in a very low-scoring direction, and obviously this one was 3-2 after the fourth inning, and then I think there was like another four or five combined hits, and that was it.
It's weird.
I was hoping that the NL tied it up simply for the sake of that new home run derby rule.
Yeah.
Because I would have loved to see who – it's like hockey. You pick –
Yes.
You pick the lineup of your shootout guy. So I would have just liked to see the strategy of
that would have been cool.
You know, who the top three are, how many they can hit.
Well, they selected them. They had to select
them. Did they announce who they were?
Yes, they had to select them before the game. So one of them was a kid I'd never heard of. He's got a short first name.
Ty France.
That's it. Ty France. I think I had heard of him, but wasn't he the president of NASCAR for a while? I'm kidding, that's Bill. But Ty France was one of them, I know. Okay. Pete Alonso was one of them. I know I'm probably skipping leagues here.
Now, would they have taken these pitches off an actual pitcher?
That's a good question.
Or is it back to like BP home run derby?
I would assume it would be BP home run derby.
That's why I wanted to see it.
I'm assuming they're not bringing out Helsley to throw 103 and then sitting there going, all right, somebody has to hit a home run before we can leave.
Schwarber was up in the bottom of the ninth.
I think Schwarber was one of them, by the way.
And he had, I think, a career home run off of whoever was pitching for the AL at that time. So I know people in the bottom of the ninth were maybe geeked to get the game tied, but he struck out.
Ah.
I got to say, out of all the if we were grading All-Star
Was he the un-MVP
if
of
we were grading All-Star weekend performances, Schwarber gets like an F in my book. He hits 12 total home runs and loses to Albert Pujols. And then strikes out twice and doesn't do anything in the All-Star game.
Can you get an F minus? Is that even... Now, one thing, I did not watch the end of the game. I was in bed plenty ahead of that. But I did watch the one inning. Who was the pitcher from Toronto that pitched like the second or third inning? And they had him mic'd up. And it was pretty cool because his catcher was also catching. But then he could hear John Smoltz in the booth. So he gets a 1-2 count to Jeff McNeil from the Mets, and the guy pitching is like, what do you want me to throw here, John? And he's like, how about a back foot slider? That or Smoltz wanted some kind of a slider, and the pitcher was like, I'll do back foot slider. Well, he hits McNeil in the front foot. And it was pretty funny because then right after he's like, oh, dog, man, I'm sorry. You know, and he's talking to McNeil and he's like, that was supposed to be a back foot slider or something. And McNeil's laughing. But it was just kind of cool. Like he'd be like, I'm going to elevate a fastball here. And he would go kind of the reasoning. He's like, he's seen two of my sinkers. He fouled one of them off. I think he's starting to get on it. So I'm going to elevate a fastball. Well, he didn't. He threw it like right down the middle, but he got him out. And he was talking some smack coming off the mound. He's like, oh, you can't hit that. You know, so it was.
I love that.
I do, too.
I mean, I understand why. The obvious follow up from a fan is, why can't I see that during a playoff game? But there's an obvious retort back. You know, you can't have a wired, especially after what the Astros did.
Oh my!
Have some type of wired microphone connection with a pitcher in a big spot.
Would agree.
You know, he could say that it was distracting. What, you know, there's a million reasons why that wouldn't work.
But in an All-Star game, I think the more the better.
Yeah, I mic everybody up.
The more the better.
I don't care, and it is interesting. I think some of the stuff I would like to see them keep that isn't as invasive, and I don't really understand why they only do it.
Yeah.
Like there was an ump cam.
Yeah.
So there was a replay of Stanton's home run, unlike any home run replay I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Where you get this view of basically right behind Stanton. And I thought, now why do they only put a GoPro on the ump in the All-Star game?
Right.
I mean, it seems like something that he'd be able to manage in a playoff game that would give us a cool view.
I agree. And that might even answer a question of if a guy fouled a ball off his foot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, there might be some things that would actually help with. Even if I guess you'd have to declare the fact that, all right, the camera is only used for entertainment purposes.
Right.
It cannot be used to rule on a call or make a judgment on a call. So, you know, the other thing, I don't know if you enjoy doing this, but the one thing I got a kick out of, Nestor Cortes, I guess, was he the pitcher?
Well, he's a Yankees pitcher.
Oh, okay.
So sure, he's Toronto.
I thought he was wearing a Toronto Blue Jay jersey. But
I think the Blue Jay representative was Alec Manoah.
That might be, I think that's who it is. Okay. Yeah, I think that's who it was. So, but anyway, I loved the idea of him talking himself through an at-bat, right?
Sure.
Talking what he's going to throw or why he's doing it, because one of the cool things that I geek out about when I'm at home and if I have time to just sit down and watch a game, a lot of times, like, I'll go along with the pitcher. And I think it's pretty cool to see, like, Waino's a hard one to do, but if it's, you know, like, I don't know, like Miles Michaelis, I'll be like, all right, he's going to throw a curve low and away. And I'll say that before, like, Yachty sets up or whatever. And then if he does it, then I'm like, all right, I'd come back in here on the hands to a righty or something. And it's amazing sometimes how you can walk your way through the same pitch sequence that a pitcher and a catcher are actually doing. But, of course, when you've watched the same pitcher for so long and you kind of get an idea of what's working in a game. But it's just pretty cool to understand that. Now, when I was pitching as a young kid, do you think I did that? No. I was like, well, of course, I didn't have all these pitches either. I just, here's a fastball. I'll try to hit it.
You mean you weren't rifling through
no,
your arsenal?
My slider and cutter.
Trying to figure out how to get them out.
Rich Green taught me the old changeup by you'd push the ball a little bit deeper in your hand, which is still done. But, you know, I was younger, so I didn't, my hands still aren't huge. But, and then he would have us drag our back foot. So my right foot would come off the mound and I would drag that. And according to him, and his son Rick was one of my best friends who ended up pitching at Parkland, so obviously Mr. Green knew what he was doing. But according to him, it would slow the ball down about 5 miles an hour. But when you're only throwing a fastball about 48, you know, I think it was almost as though I threw a changeup and then a slower version of a changeup.
The difference between 48 and 42 probably is not not as stark as the difference between like 95 and 88.
I totally agree. Adam said on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line, also the custom bats, let them do it year round. They could have a huge market for that, almost like NBA shoes. Kids would go out, grab Trout's bat, from like Dick's Sporting Goods. Well, I think that could be cool to use as a charity.
Sure.
I think that would get pretty expensive on the bat things being custom made. Let's be honest. So I think if you maybe did that on occasion, you did a custom bat on occasion. So let's say you had a...
And they have like pink ones on Mother's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Blue ones on Father's Day.
So if you had like a Cubs-Cardinals Sunday night game, maybe make custom bats for that and then use the bats for charity.
Sure.
I think that would be really cool. A 217 said, I wonder if they talk like that or to each other during regular season games and fans don't know that's everyday talking. I would assume no. I think it's a little more relaxed. No, not a little. It's a lot more relaxed in the All-Star game. And I think what he means is, in other words, he threw one by him and he was like, ooh, you can't catch up to that. I don't think they do. Honestly, I don't think that's done. I think some pitchers maybe do, or some hitters. I think that's more by reaction. In other words, like somebody hitting a home run and flipping the bat. That's more or less. I don't think they sit there and talk to each other like that during regular season. I think, unfortunately, it would lead to a lot of brush-ups.
Yeah, plus, I mean, if the catcher was part of that conversation too, right?
No.
Oh.
He was just... The pitcher was doing was he was telling it. Wait, did I say he was? That's my fault. I think it was just Smoltz and the pitcher.
I see.
So then the catcher, like, he would say, oh, yeah, he agrees with that call. He agrees with the slider outside.
I see. Okay.
So now maybe.
I was going to say, if the catcher's there saying, yeah, you should throw one up and in here, like,
exactly.
The batter could almost hear
that's
that.
That's what I'm thinking. So maybe the catcher could hear it.
They definitely don't do that during a regular season game.
I'm thinking maybe the catcher could hear it. That would be cool, too, because, you know, and again, it was cool that John Smoltz was basically,
sure,
he was letting Smoltz call half of his pitches.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
And obviously that catcher is not the Toronto catcher.
I was thinking he was, but I guess not.
Maybe. Maybe he was. I don't know.
You can tell I researched it strong.
You can tell we both watched the game
right,
from beginning to end.
I watched that part. I did watch Goldie's home run. Listen, it's cool. It is an amazing thing to see all of that talent together. I mean, it's truly amazing to watch. And you know, in the first inning, right off the bat, you got Kershaw against Shohei Ohtani. And it's like, how cool is
this? Yeah, that is cool.
And Ohtani hits the single, and then he gets picked off. I don't know if you saw that. He, like, was so fooled. It was almost weird. Like, he was so fooled on a pickoff by Kershaw that he started jumping towards second and then had to come back, and he got thrown out by a sizable margin when it comes to pickoffs. Because normally on a pickoff, you barely get – if you get thrown out, it's usually a bang-bang. But Ohtani definitely – got thrown out. Yeah, Carmen said it was the Blue Jays catcher, so I'm not sure who that is. I apologize.
Kirk, I think his last name
Kirk.
Is.
Okay.
He looks there like me.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Which is
which is not to say much for Kirk.
Hey, speaking of baseball, Michael Massey, former Illinois player, was on that great Illini team that battled Vanderbilt, of course, in the the Super Regional.
Well, that would, if you had won that, you would have gotten to the Super Regional, I think.
No,
right?
No, you were there. If you would have won that, you would have gone to the College World Series.
Okay.
Yeah, because you won your regional.
Okay.
And then you played in the Super Regional against Vanderbilt.
Gotcha.
So Michael Massey was drafted fourth overall by the Royals. The highest position player, or at least infielder, to ever be drafted by or from Illinois. And he was called up. Now, there were some circumstances to this in the sense that a lot of the Royals players had not been vaccinated and could not make the trip to Canada.
There's like 12 of them.
Yeah, something like that.
Which, whatever.
Yeah.
But most teams had like one or two. The Royals had like half their roster. Which is kind
of
crazy.
So they had to call up some of these guys to just field a team. And Michael Massey was one of them. And, you know, for him, sure, maybe it's not the ordinary call-up. But at that point, do you care?
No.
First of all, you're making big league money for at least 2 or 3 days, and he collected his first Major League Baseball hit.
That's right.
So it was very cool. Well, he is going to join us at 5:05 today. Excited to visit with Michael Massey. We'll talk to him a little bit more about that Illinois team. How did it come together? I want to know. I mean, that's, you know, look, Dan Hartlib's one of the best coaches out there, and it is hard to put together a team from the Big Ten, essentially, that's going to play in the College World Series. It's just hard to do. And what made that team so special? I mean, they had a little of everything. They had power. They had contact hitters. They had great pitching. Who was our guy we just talked about that went to
Tyler J.
Tyler J. threw like 100. He was your closer. They had a great first Friday night starter. He was a lefty that I can't think of his name either. I'm just getting old and can't remember anything, but those out there that are younger remember it. But it was just a team that came together perfectly and was a great team for Illinois baseball. So we'll ask Michael Massey about that. And also, what's that like to collect your first hit in Major League Baseball? I think that's a cool thing. Did anybody dupe him? You know, because sometimes they'll throw the ball in and they'll act like they're some other guy on the team will act like he's throwing it into the stands, you know?
I mean, I'd say yes, but half the team was looking for their first Major League hit. So I don't know if they had on their mind pranks
to prank Michael Massey at all, but we will talk to Michael Massey at 5:05. Excited for that. Coming up at 4:30, Joey Wagner, Illini Inquirer. Let's be honest, we don't have anything to talk about. I mean, this is the like slowest day in the history of sports, right? And every year it falls on this day right after the All-Star game. There are zero events. There's not a home run derby. There's nothing. That's why I think they ought to do the futures game today. I think that would be cool, and I think they would get a lot of airtime on that.
That would make far too much sense.
Right, because you and I would be interviewing the Memphis Redbirds announcer, or, you know, announcer, and talking about Jordan Walker and what do we expect tonight with him and Mason Wynn. But instead, they bury that on a Saturday night. So we thought we would have Joey Wagner on to talk a little Illinois football. And kind of what he's looking forward to when camp begins. Is that like 2 weeks away?
Yep. I think even closer than
that. Or not camp. It'd be practice.
Yeah.
What am I saying camp for?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a
pseudo
camp.
The games are what, in a month?
Yeah, Wyoming kickoff is, I think, August, 26th? And we're July 20th?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wow. Okay.
So.
A month till tailgating.
Yep.
T-minus 34 days.
And
or so.
It just hits you because it'll be the first game of week zero.
That's crazy.
So, you know, it'll just be an average Friday, and then you'll wake up and Wyoming's
here
in town. And here we go.
Is this the second year in a row that Illinois played the first game of the college football season?
I don't know if it was the first last year. There might have been like a weird game in Hawaii the night before or something, but it was one of the first.
Right.
And it was a conference game.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a little bit less of a special matchup or anything.
I agree. But the Nebraska game was pretty exciting last year.
It was.
I just want to ask Joey, what are some storylines he wants to follow as football starts? And I'll just get some ideas from him and talk about Illinois football. So he'll be coming up here in about 5 minutes. Again, Michael Massey at 5:05. 5:30, we may just shut the mics down and leave. Because by then, we really won't have anything to talk about, and we'll just take off. Is that cool?
I don't know about that.
Okay, we won't.
Did you see two people now texted in, like, I guess Brian Snitker.
Yeah, he batted Acuna three times.
And Austin Riley pinch hit for Goldschmidt or one of those guys. And then he batted like three times.
Yeah.
Well, seems a little weird and biased.
Hey, but it's your team. I guarantee you, you could go back through the history of All-Star games and find situations just like that.
I'm sure.
I promise you. It used to be, I think, that the manager named the starting pitcher. I don't know that that's the case anymore, or maybe it is. Well, maybe it is then. That's probably the case.
Although I doubt Brian Snitker did not have any outside pressure placed on him to name Clayton Kershaw the starter in Dodger Stadium.
Correct. Because I know that, I mean, it's worked the other way, that sometimes a manager will not use his pitcher.
Don't tire him out.
That's exactly right. Or he wants him to start the first game after the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, guess what? Guess who's not throwing today? Miles Michaelis. But we'll see. I know Miles hinted at the fact that Mats, of course, was supposed to start that final game for the Cardinals before the break. They think when they restart the second half of the season, it'll be Waino, Mats, and then Michaelis against the Reds. So looks like three straight wins to me for the Cardinals. And they'll figure out a way to lose one of them.
Seemed like a real convenient day for a rainout.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there wasn't a bunch of rain in the forecast.
I'm with you.
Nato said that his back was tightening up and he was going to pass on the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Mats coming off an injury. Like, it just seemed like a good day to say,
yep,
let's just hit the showers early today and not worry about.
Well, it was like the Mets when the Cardinals flew to New York.
That's right. That's right.
And the Mets just, but you and I commented on it that day because it was like 9:30 in the morning. And you texted me and said, hey, we've got a full show today because the Mets-Cardinals game's rained out.
It was later than that. It was like noon.
Oh, I was thinking it was even earlier.
The game was starting at 5.
Oh.
It was like less than 5 hours before the game.
But see, I thought the thought to it was is that they called it so early.
They still did. I mean, they said there was a potential fringe risk of severe weather.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
No. And the Mets had just come off playing like 13 games in 11 days.
And it was like Scherzer and DeGrom were both hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And it worked to get Scherzer back in the rotation. So, good for him. Yeah, against the Cardinals. All right, so Joey Wagner's next. Michael Massey at 505. If you want to weigh in on the U of I Illini Lake text line, 217-359-2255. That's also the number we will use to call both of our guests on the Nick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Find us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lon Tay, ESPN, CU.
I am at T. Valise.
Yeah.
V-A-L-L-E-S-E.
There should be two.
Podcasts are on all platforms. They're all back up and running for anyone who's still been asking about that. So we should be good to go from here on out there. And, of course, you can stream us live at stevieJay.com, stevieJay.com.
Back with Joey Wagner talking some Illinois football because why not? It's The Drive.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on-site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Rescue workers face death every day, and far too often their families lose them while they're helping you on the road. When you see emergency lights flashing, you must slow down and move over to the far lane. That includes red, blue, and orange lights. If you hit someone on the road, you'll be charged with a felony. That means jail time. Help us keep our families safe when we're out helping yours. When the lights are flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Brought to you by Tapman's Towing.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Baseball's best rivalry returns to Busch Stadium for a midweek series August 2nd through the 4th. Catch the Cardinals and Cubs series with great seats remaining starting at just $10. Or enjoy the game like a VIP with an all-inclusive ticket in one of Busch Stadium's premier club areas. That's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The Cardinals and the Cubs at Busch Stadium. Get your tickets today at cardinals.com.
When selling your home with Ryan Dallas Real Estate, nothing is left to chance. This is Ryan Dallas with Ryan Dallas Real Estate. As the most trusted name in local real estate, my team goes above and beyond to get you results. It's what makes our team number one in homes sold and number one in client satisfaction year after year. We outsell the competition and outperform for you. Put your trust in the team that gets proven results, Ryan Dallas Real Estate. Visit us at RyanDallasRE.com.
It's a stress-free summer at Merle Norman Cosmetics. Looks are effortless with the 2022 Explore Color Collection. Ask about the limited edition 12-shade Exploration Eye Palette with guided labels for precise application. Next, swirl on neutral or berry cheek trio blush and finish with one of the new plant-powered tinted lip balm colors for shiny, nourished lips. Shop the Explore Color Collection while supplies last at Merle Norman, 706 West Marketview Drive in Champaign, over by Subway.
If you're a truck driver or know a truck driver, listen to this. Gale Frerichs Trucking is looking for regional drivers who can also help with the harvest. Help with the harvest, drive in the Midwest, and always be home on weekends. Gale Frerichs Trucking is hiring a regional driver who can help with the harvest and offers great pay and great benefits. Work for a local company who values your time and your family. Gale Frerichs Trucking wants to talk to you. Just email Dixie at gftlog.com. That's Dixie at gftlog.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Bang, bang. Tainted love. Joey Wagner does not want me to sing Tainted Love. Joey, if you really give me a chance in these hallowed, ghostly confines that we do our show in right now, I think the Tainted Love sounded really good. I promise.
I don't believe that at all.
Do you know I only have one skill set that's cool in life? It's that because I was born in the time of the Hair Nation, Skid Row, Scorpions, that era, I can get both low with my voice and extremely high. Trevor's heard it, and he's like, it's pretty impressive. That's my only skill, Joey.
Every Friday, I think you can close out the show by singing 25 seconds of a song of your choosing.
You know what? I actually like this idea.
Not bad.
I like this idea, Joey. In fact, well, I don't know that we're going to have a show this Friday. We'll have to start it next Friday.
Got to be tomorrow.
Wait, and then I'm going to be in Florida. So,
see, this is the problem right here, Joey, with trying to institute anything.
What sounds like a wonderful idea is already 3 weeks away from happening. I feel like I'm working with the state of Illinois on trying to get something done. It's like, well, we should in about 3 months. That's about how
whatever would be Lon's Friday that week is the day he sings.
Okay.
It. I think that makes sense.
Okay. I like that idea, which tomorrow
so it
would
be Tuesday most weeks, Lon.
Oh, come on! After just 3 minutes on the phone, Joey Wagner is even with me for puns. That's not really a pun. That's your celebration song. All right, Joey, we'll get down to business. Joey Wagner, Illini Inquirer. You know, not going to lie, you're helping us out today because it is a slow day, but I've been wanting to talk some Illinois football as we were about a month away from the season and not that far away from practice. I'm anxious, as I know you'll be there most days, or if not every day. What are some storylines that you're kind of looking forward to covering with this team, and what are some things that Joey Wagner's eyes are going to be focused on when football begins again?
Yeah, I think it's the offense, Lon. I mean, just big picture offense, right? When we talk about last year's team, we talk about the offense because Ryan Walters orchestrated the defense, and that coaching staff orchestrated the defense to take that jump. And you say, well, if they would have scored more against Purdue, they're probably in a bowl game. If they would have done this, I mean, I know the defense let them down against Maryland, they're probably in a bowl game in some of these discussions. So it's the big picture. And Brett Bielema made the change. He went out. He fired Tony Peterson. He hired Barry Lunney. So it's what's this look like? And we're not going to know that. We're not going to know what it looks like in totality in training camp because we're not going to see it. We're going to get 15 minutes or whatever the case may be, and then we'll talk to people and it'll probably be a lot like last year where it's we're not going to show our cards. And okay, you know, that is what it is.
Right.
But what does that look like against Wyoming? And then beyond. And I don't think it's who's going to be the quarterback. I mean, there's a quote-unquote competition. I don't know how much I believe that it's a competition. I think Tommy DeVito's got the inside track on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just how does this all come together, and who steps up in the receiver room not named Isaiah Williams, right? Or what's the offensive line? There's so many smaller nuggets of watching for this or that, but in totality, it's the offense, and can it take a step forward?
I liked what you guys do your daily dish or daily, right? Daily dish. And
that would be the name of
yeah,
it. Yes.
How about that?
Thank you for that.
And you guys were talking about who would be the number two receiver for Illinois. I love that discussion. I'm with you with regards to the offense being kind of the storyline and DeVito and, you know, how good can he be? I'm actually in a corner with nobody else thinking that Sitkowski, now that he's fully healthy, I want to see what he's about, and is DeVito that much better than Sitkowski, which I'm assuming he is, but so that's a little bit of something I want to see. But I guess when you look at it, Joey, and you look at the sure things in life, it's the running back room. And obviously Chase Brown coming back after rushing for 1,005 yards. Can he get back to 1,000? Obviously you've got Josh McCray after him who ran for about almost 600 and missed a couple of games. So you know you've got an attack back there that is pretty vicious. But last year you also, Joey, had an experienced line of scrimmage. Now you do get, of course, Palchuski back. You've get Pearl's back. You've got some guys back. Don't get me wrong. But do you have any slight worry as to the running game maybe not clicking as well, especially early, as it did last season, due to the fact that you have some new big bodies up front?
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to wonder, because Rodarian Lowe was really good at Illinois for 5 years. Doug Kramer was really good at Illinois for 5 years. Those two were drafted in the NFL. But I think there's, I don't know, quiet confidence, I guess, if you talk to them about the offensive line. They like the pieces that they have. I think Alex Palchuski coming back is a huge deal, and it alleviates a lot. I mean, to have that much veteran experience, probably at right tackle. We saw him obviously move into guard last year. Then you have like a guy, Alex Pilstrom, at center. That is kind of an underrated, if this works, what an important bridge year to the Josh Kreutz, to the Joey Oakleys, to the TJ McMillan who they have in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. Now, you got to see it work, right? They brought in the two junior college guards / tackles, Isaiah Adams and Zy Chrysler, and they're going to compete with Jordan Slaughter. I think those are the three guys you're talking about to fill the two guard spots. So there are some unknowns there, Lon, for sure. And, you know, maybe it doesn't pan out, but they seem to have a confidence that it's going to work. And obviously that's important to the running game. But I think, you know, Chase Brown's finally starting to get some attention, and it might not be enough. I mean, he's a really good running back. I don't know that people outside of Champaign in the state of Illinois really, and I get it, right? I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
He was 5-7. But, man, he's really good, and he has a chance to go back-to-back for 1,000 yards. I think that's only happened 3 other times in program history.
I think you're right.
He's something else.
Lon called it a fun discussion about the number two receiver. I'm not quite sure I would characterize it as fun. But for those who did
intriguing.
Not
how about that?
Watch our Emmy Award-winning video.
Correct.
Who do you think should be the number two receiver? And do you think that position has enough depth overall behind Isaiah Williams?
I think when we talk number two, like Isaiah is the number one. But I think when a lot of people think of number one receiver, they think of like the Josh Bebe, the outside guy. So I think like the number one outside guy going into camp is Casey Washington. He had that last year. So I guess is he, quote, the number two receiver? Does that make sense? Am I getting lost in numbers? I don't know. But you look at who are the guys on the outside that are going to step up, and that's a Casey Washington. That's a Pat Bryant, Sean Miller, Jonah Morris. But there's not a lot of provenness out of those guys. Or, you know, where's Brian Hightower factor into this? So that's where there's options. You can say, okay, I could see it being, you know, this player, but what have you seen on the field, you know, in their college production? Just not a lot of returning production there. And really, we're talking about Isaiah Williams. He's got like 500. We're talking about him, and obviously it's all there. but he's got 525 yards he's coming off of. So
this whole
room as a whole lacked that returning production. This isn't when Joshy Madubuike came back in 2020, or, I mean, even going much, much beyond that. So I don't know. I think there's enough options there, but I think you're going to have to see, you know, Isaiah Williams is going to be the leading receiver. I don't know that that's really, if you're debating that, I maybe stop with that debate, because, I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. But is there enough there to have a couple 300-yard guys, 400-yard guys behind him? I think that's the question we're looking at.
Well, and Joey, the thing to play off that is, the thing I worry about is, you and I and Trevor know this, and most Illini fans know this. Well, guess what? So does every other team playing Illinois. So you are basically throwing, I would assume, a corner and a safety if needed at Isaiah Williams. I guess, is it the speed of Isaiah Williams that could kind of counter that? In other words, would he be a tough one to double team because of his quickness? Because, honestly, if you take him away, then you better be able to run the ball as well as anybody in the country to win a game.
Well, if you take him away, you're probably opening up for one of the other guys, right, who have to step up. But I think it's his elusiveness, his quickness. And I think, well, if you go back, I actually went back and looked at how Barry Lunny used Jakari Franklin, who you'll remember just absolutely carved Illinois. And there's a lot of line of scrimmage, short, and those intermediate passes. Just get it to him quick and let them do the rest. I mean, that's how you would kind of combat that. And I think that's what you're going to see with Isaiah Williams. And I mean, I think if you're targeting him a ton of times, 30 yards down the field, you're probably not doing it right. Get him the ball quickly. Let him make people miss. We've seen that. Even when he was a quarterback, we've seen his ability to make people miss. I think that's what you've got to lean into this year, and then hope some of those outside guys step up and make those plays, and those become viable options. And again, I'm not trying to paint this like it's going to be an air raid attack. That's certainly not what they're going to be. You just need options like that to complement everything.
Fair enough.
Joey, on the other side of the ball, I know this is something Lon's talked about already as we kind of preview this season. Illinois' defense was almost so good after that Virginia game and into conference play last year that you have to wonder now. I guess it's funny to ask, because in our minds after those Lovie Smith defenses, it sounds funny to say, does the Illinois defense take a step back and mean it as a negative this year? But do you think that just from the, I don't know what you'd call it, regression to the mean, that the defense can't quite possibly be as good as they were for that 6 or 7 game stretch to end last season?
I don't know that can't be. I think the big unknown is, I mean, Kirby Joseph is a game changer. He went in the third round of the NFL draft. You've got to replace him. It's probably not going to be just production-wise one person. I think we expect Kendall Smith to get the first crack at being in there to replace him. But that's, to me, a lot of the conversation when you're talking about this defense. And you have guys like Tony Adams and Rod Perry who are so important during that stretch, Trevor, that you talked about. So I think there's a lot to show that you can – that Ryan Walters and this coaching staff can maintain that level now as you go into year two. And maybe it will be like last year where there's some sorting out early in the year. But, man, when they found it last year, they found it. And it still feels weird to talk about an Illinois defense like that, doesn't it?
But
when you go and look at the numbers, and especially in conference play, that was a really, really good defensive team.
When you make me mention Vic Koning, then you know you had a pretty solid defensive season, because that was the last time I believe Illinois had one of those where they ranked like 7th in the country that season. Our guest is Mr. Wagner. Oh, wait, that's his Twitter, at Mr. Wagner 25. Joey Wagner, Illini Inquirer. Always love having him on. Okay, we've previewed a little football. I got to get some basketball out of you as well with Illinois. They add Shannon. They add Meyer. You've got these freshmen coming in. You're expecting a jump out of Melendez.
Brandon Lieb.
My guy Goody's going to be shooting lights out. Coleman Hawkins expecting some big things out of him as well. You know, what? It was fun. That team you covered the last 3 years was no doubt a fun team to cover. Now it's a lot of new pieces. How excited are you to cover this team and kind of go into the season with, yeah, you understand and you know that some things are going to be the case and they should win, but there's a lot of unknowns right now that could be exciting to watch.
Yeah, there's probably more unknowns than the last 2 years. And there's excitement in the new. I mean, I think fans, obviously, you don't have to go too far into conversations to hear. Like, they're excited about this and what it could be. But it is a new team, and there's going to be, that's a tough non-conference schedule, guys, especially early on. There's a two-week stretch, right, after you get out of Vegas and you've got Syracuse in there and Texas. Like, that's tough, and especially if you get some Big Ten games rolled into that. I think it's, what is that, Trevor? Is it December 6th? I think they play at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
So if you get some Big Ten teams before that, it's going to be, I expect there to be some growing pains. I don't know that, I would be wise to not expect that. But when you hear kind of the premise of what they want to do, and it's just new faces for us in cover, it's just new people to learn, new faces, new interviews, new production. I mean, it's all sorts of new things, and there's excitement in that. But I mean, come on now, Kofi Coburn gave you a really good floor. I mean, you knew what you were going to get out of him, and that probably coincided to where you were going to be. And I just don't want people to maybe whisk him away in their minds too quickly, because there was something fun in knowing what it was going to be. But there's an excitement in the newness. And I think everybody who follows this program, be it as a fan or cover, like you can feel that, you can sense that. And it may take some time for that to fully gel. But I mean, if you look at the potential of it, there's an excitement there.
Last question, Joey. We'll get you out of here on this, as Lon is trying his best to distract me, and I'm not going to crack. Do you think do you want the St. Louis Cardinals to acquire Juan Soto?
First of all, what is happening over there? Piper would not be tolerating these antics.
He was smart. He got out of town on the two slowest days of the year.
He totally did.
Yeah, we're going to have to relay this, because I don't know if he would appreciate Lon's antics.
Joey's going to have to do a show with me.
Has he ever?
No.
I'm busy that day. But, yeah, you have to tell him.
That was good.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lon. I still don't know what the music is. Stuart, I don't know. I mean, you're a Cardinals fan, Lon. I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
He's 23. He's awesome. Like, on that, yeah. Like I say, I think so. Yeah, I want them to get Juan Soto. If they do it, is part of it going to be like, oh, you're getting rid of him and him and him, and you better have that contract dried by the time you make the trade, because you can't do that without it. But, dude, these are players you build your program, your teams around. And I say that, and I know who's at first, and I know who's at third. But, man, he's a game changer.
Oh.
He's an absolute game changer. He's 23 years old, guys. He's 23. Yeah, dude. If you can get him, you get him, and you don't look back.
I agree. And Kevin Wheeler was on with this yesterday from KMOX, and I even had mentioned to Kevin, even if you because we understand that this would be everything against what the Cardinals normally do, not only in terms of giving up young prospects, but also getting a guy that you're going to have to, as they say, break the bank for going in the future. But I told Kevin, I'm like, isn't there a realistic argument that you could use him, you get him for 2.5 years while Goldschmidt and Arenado are in their prime? So to me, yeah, you'd love to sign Juan Soto and have him for the next 17 years. Well, I don't know that I would want to do that. I'd love to have him for the next.
Bring it on. He's 23.
Well, that's true. Fine. That's true.
Fine.
I mean, he'll be my age by the time that contract's done. But the point is, even if you give up these guys to get him for 2 years, 2.5 years, by the way, so that gives you 3 legitimate chances at pushing for a World Series while you've got Goldie and Arenado. I'm in the corner of, even if you don't then spend $500 million on him, it still could be a good deal.
I don't know. I would struggle to part with who they would need to part with to not have him beyond 3 years. Or, 3 postseasons, I guess, is the way to look at it.
Right.
But the other interesting part of this, one, they need pitching. Like, that's the other part.
Big time.
Just like, you're going to have to move a lot of pieces to get him. He's generational. You would do it. but you still got to be able to pitch. And you'd ideally like your starters to see the fifth inning every, more than once every 5 days.
Amen.
Like, that's an ideal thing you would like to see. But the interesting part is if they want to move Corbin along with him, and Corbin's got a contract now. I mean, that's a costly pitcher. What does that do for the prospects you would have to part with in return? Because you're taking on, I mean, you're helping Washington out by taking on that contract.
Amen.
Is that, how much does that lessen it? Because it would have to lessen it to some degree. Like, that's the interesting part is I don't know, man. If you're Washington, I know you want to, you know, ditch the Corbin contract, but at what cost? Because, I mean, it's going to hurt when you get back in return. I don't know. I would kind of just suck it up a little bit if it meant hurt my return haul for Soto.
Amen.
That's going to be a freaking haul for whoever gets him. And I'm sure you saw today Scott Boras put out that Soto had to fly commercial to the All-Star game. I mean, this seems to me like Scott Boras is like, hey, we're done here. I don't want anyone to think otherwise. We're trying to get on out of here. And that's why, like, I just don't know that I can see August 3rd. He's still there. This just feels too loud, too much out there for this to, I don't even want to say work, but God, it'd just be awkward August 3rd, wouldn't it?
I totally agree. And I think, and I'm with you, and I appreciate your opinion and your thought to the idea that you want him long term. And I totally get that as well. And being 23 plays into that. But I still think even with arbitration numbers that would be high for him next year and the year after, I still think the Cardinals have the payroll because they're 20 million less this year than they were last year. I still think they could make hay the next 2 years with getting another pitcher as well, praying that Jack Flaherty can stay healthy, hoping Miles Michaelis can continue to do his thing, Dakota Hudson can continue to do his thing. I think they could still do that. And I just think for the next 2.5 years, regardless of not or not, if you sign him to a long, long-term deal, I think the Cardinals could be one of the four favorites to win a World Series. And if you have a chance to do that, I think you've got to do it. I really do.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, that's three postseasons that you get yourself a crack with Juan Soto in the mix with Goldschmidt and Arenado. Do you have enough pitching to really feel like that's a worthwhile crack?
No. And that's why
that's my concern is you're going to give up all these guys for three postseasons of one guy, and maybe you don't have the rest around it to make it a worthwhile thing. Give me as many of those. Give me 10 years of those things.
Well, and that's true.
It'd be really, really tough. And with baseball payroll, I struggle to – you got the payroll if you want to have the payroll, right?
Right, exactly. And I think what's Soto making this year, $15 million, $17 million? So I think they – in other words, I think the Cardinals could do Soto, and I think they could do another pitcher this year. I think they could. And then even in the offseason, I mean, let's say Soto's going to make – $25 million. Well, if Waino and Yachty are gone, that's basically your $20 million there that you're paying Soto. So I still think you could add pitching is what I'm saying for the next couple of years. But you know what? This is the other reason I love baseball.
Who's leaving the team?
I feel like I'm running into something here. Waino or Yachty?
Everything is awesome.
Oh, Joey!
Everything is cool when you're
I don't know how you didn't see that coming.
I totally I'm old.
He's a hater, man.
He's taking advantage of a senior citizen is what he's doing. Essentially, that's what he's doing.
To your point really quickly, though, Juan, if you're going to go out of kind of the realm of norm that the Cardinals operate with in the trade market, and you're going to push all those chips in to get Soto, and it's going to be a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you've already done what you don't do. So to your point, then go get a pitcher. If you're going all in.
Good call.
Go all in.
I like it.
I don't know. It's so hard to read. But ultimately, I don't think this is all going to happen. I think it's hard for me to think the Cardinals are going to do this. I know they went out, you know, they got Ozuna and Goldschmidt and Arenado. But, man, this is a different haul.
It almost seems too splashy. Haul. Yeah, exactly. I do like, by the way, Lindy on the U of I Atlantic Lake text line, $17 million a year and he had to fly commercial. I'm guessing he could have afforded the business class or first class that is in front of that curtain, but it's still.
I would like to see the receipt too. By the way,
right.
That feels to me like Scott Boras is like I'm telling you, if that report just feels like we're done here,
totally agree. I had even heard that the A's representative, they were flying him commercial, and the Houston Astros stepped up and flew him private to the game. Can you imagine, like, Houston Astros?
That's a new level of pathetic. That's just sad.
Well, Joey Wagner.
Did you guys notice how much Albert Pujols was hanging on to Juan Soto all night at home?
Tampering.
Tampering. Always be recruiting.
Well, Joey Wagner, you have no idea how much we appreciate you coming on today, because we needed you, man, and you delivered the goods as always. So we really appreciate it, buddy, and enjoy football. I always love reading your stuff, and I'm looking forward to getting kind of back in the football mode of things and getting up every morning and having an article there from Joey Wagner. So keep it up, my friend.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. A week away. Media days are a week from today. Wow. I don't know if it'll be up there, so it's back.
That's awesome. Joey, thank you, sir.
All right, take care, boy.
All right, buddy. Joey Wagner, he's like 6'5 or something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a tall dude.
He's really tall. And Pipes and Joey, like, I'm the shortest. I'm like 6 foot.
I'm the shortest of those three, and I felt like I was doing okay at 6'3. But
and, like, you get around them, and it's like, goodness.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know. That's why I hang around Aaron Bennett and Brett Behrens. My good friends at Channel 3.
Shots fired out of nowhere. There.
Boom! Can I get a...
Aaron Bennett sitting at his college of whatever job like, what the hell, Lon?
Yes! Take that, Bennett! That's what you get for moving to news. That's what you get. Somehow, this has got to get back to him. I think that's awesome. We got to take a break. Michael Massey, former Illini baseball player, made his Major League debut and got a hit. On top of it, he's joining us next to visit about that and more. It is The Drive.